This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. As promised, the first thing that we're doing on the show today is to take a look at the Short-Term Economic Recovery Plan, or the ERP, and that was just announced earlier this afternoon by Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. So this new 35 billion ringgit stimulus package is aimed at helping the economy recover and is called Plan Jana Semula Ekonomi Negara, or PENJANA. Of that total, 10 billion ringgit will be in the form of direct fiscal injections. And it was actually quite a long speech if you did not catch it, and it covered a lot of ground. So we're going to try to summarize some of the main points. But of course, if you do want more detail, there are lots of articles and I think the report can be found. But we're going to do our best to bring you kind of the main highlights. Overall, there are 40 initiatives that are meant to achieve three goals: to empower the people, propel businesses, and stimulate the economy. And PENJANA is the fourth step in a six-phase recovery plan for our economy, and that is based around six R's. So resolve, resilience, restart, recovery, revitalize, and reform. So there's a lot going on, especially in this recovery stage. But the first point is on unemployment. So the government has set aside 1.5 billion ringgit for hiring incentives for 300,000 companies. 800 ringgit a month will be given for each person under the age of 40 who is hired, and 1,000 ringgit a month for those above 40 or with special needs. There's also an allocation of 9 billion ringgit to help 3 million workers, and this means that existing wage subsidies from the Prihatin stimulus package will be extended by a further 3 months. There's also a training allowance of up to 4,000 ringgit under SOCSO to help those who are unemployed to upskill. Furthermore, the government is giving out 50 million ringgit to help businesses in the gig economy continue maintaining SOCSO and EPF contributions for their staff. And separately, and this was something that came up quite a lot, since digitalization is so crucial to survival in this time, there's also a 700 million ringgit allocation to help SMEs digitalize their operations. Beyond that, 1 billion ringgit will be allocated to support SMEs in the tourism sector, 400 million ringgit for microbusinesses, 500 million in loans for Bumiputra entrepreneurs. Now, smaller measures include tax breaks for new car purchases, e-wallet vouchers, a one-off aid of 300 ringgit for vulnerable members of society, such as single mothers and OKU, and a 30 ringgit unlimited monthly travel pass for commuters in the Klang Valley, regardless of nationality. And finally, to help monitor all of these measures and more, the government will be forming a special committee of private sector leaders chaired by the Ministers of Finance and Human Resources. So as mentioned, this is really just a slice of the main highlights of the Economic Recovery Plan, or that ERP. And I think that it's perhaps more detailed than what we've become accustomed to seeing in these stimulus packages in terms of where and how the money is going to be distributed. Because, of course, in the early days of the Prihatin stimulus package, for example, there were a lot of questions about that exact point, you know. So if you say that it's going to be distributed, how exactly am I supposed to get it? We've also heard stories, for example, even here on the show, of micro traders having difficulty somewhat falling between two stools when it comes to trying to get that aid. So that's also something to consider. I think that perhaps in this instance, there seems to be more of a well-rounded approach. But I think what stands out to me is that it is 35 billion ringgit. Prior to this, we saw the stimulus package, you know, living in the realm of 20 billion. And in both instances, of course, the government is within its rights, not even within its rights. Of course, the government is correct, you know, to want to help the people. But at this point where, you know, looking at a 50 billion ringgit pair of packages that has not gone through parliament in any way or form. And that, of course, is its own form of controversy. But that's where we are. So we're going to be diving deep into the details of this after, and also just checking up on whether or not these are basically how effective they're going to be or how effective we anticipate them being. And to do that with us, we're going to be speaking with Kelvin Cheng, who is an analyst in the economics program at ISIS Malaysia. If you have any questions, especially in terms of how this ERP is going to impact you directly, do let us know. You can call 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. You're listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
It's 5:13 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. As promised, this hour we are looking at the short-term economic recovery plan that was announced by Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. And if you have any questions on how this might impact you or your company, you can send those through. Call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now on the line is Kelvin Cheng, analyst with the Economics Program at ISIS Malaysia. Kelvin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Liz.
So first of all, what is your initial take on the plan that was announced?
Well, first I must say that, of course, I just went through the full text of the speech, and this was just my initial thoughts. And it might take a while to analyze the fine details, but early personal thoughts. Overall, I think that I was expecting or, wishing for a bolder, bigger, clearer economic recovery plan, especially in view of the dire economic conditions we are facing in Malaysia at the moment. However, of course, I think that there are definitely some good initiatives in the in the short-term economic recovery plan, open jana. And I think also think that on paper, the size of the stimulus package, which is about 10 billion in direct spending, is somewhat adequate, though. In total, how that $10 billion in spending was allocated is a different thing altogether.
And we mentioned earlier that this is stage four of a six-stage plan, with the first three being Resolve, Resilience, Restart. Before we look into how we think recovery is going to go, how do you think those first three phases went?
All right. Well, to be honest, I'm not entirely sure when this six-stage plan started.
Yeah.
I don't think I heard any of this during the original pre-Hartin stimulus packages back in March to May, because I certainly think that there are huge overlaps between the pre-Hartin and Perjalanan packages in terms of stimulating the economic recovery, and I don't think it's that clear, stage four, stage five, stage six. In any case, I think how these three phases went, I think we've done reasonably well in terms of public health-wise, but economically, I think a lot of the damage has already been done. I think that a lot of the jobs and livelihoods have already been lost, and some few engagements suggest that many workers and households, particularly those already in the lower income groups, and particularly those independent contract or self-employed workers, have already faced severe economic hardship during the MCO period. But of course, that was then. And for now, we have to focus on doing all we can to kickstart the economic recovery and hopefully pull some of these people and have these heavily affected people back on their feet.
We've seen 40 initiatives announced in this round to broadly address three goals: empower the people, propel businesses, and stimulate the economy. You mentioned there that you might have hoped for a bolder approach, but looking at what we have right now, were there incentives that stood out to you as potentially being effective?
Of course. I think a lot of the initiatives are effective. Mm-hmm. And I think, there are a few. And I think the initiative that I appreciate probably the most is the expansion of the wage subsidy program. I think this is, of course, previously announced in the pre-Hartin package back in, April. I think certainly despite some shortfalls, including administrative hiccups with the application process, heavy compliance costs for smaller firms, and there are also some issues with the speed of which the funds were disbursed. But overall, I think despite all this, the wage subsidy program has certainly already done a lot of good in helping, both workers and firms, and preserving employer-worker relationships, right, which should actually be the key objective in the previous stages. Other than that, I think there's a lot of focus on grants instead of loans for SMEs, specifically on digitalization, et cetera, whereas the previous pre-Hartin packages focus a lot on loans. So I think the move towards giving cash in grants instead of loans are very welcome.
And would you say that right now there is enough focus within these incentives and initiatives to achieve the intended goals?
Right. Well, I think there is some sort of focus, and then we can argue whether or not it will achieve the intended goals of, if I'm reading this right, empower people, propel businesses, and stimulate the economy. But I think the real question is, are these initiatives in this short-term economic recovery plan immediate enough and bold enough to actually, recover the economy in the short term, which is the name of the plan? Are these initiatives immediate enough? Because overall, I think that slightly more focus and more funds should be put on actually recovering or stimulating the Malaysian economy in the short to medium term. And of course, continue to support the livelihoods of Malaysian workers and businesses in the short to medium term, in my opinion. So, like, what initiatives, right? Overall, I think in a previous article I wrote about how I would have liked to seen, number one, a more ambitious expansion of infrastructure spending beyond what we saw in the Prihatin package. And number two, a second round of the Bontang Prihatin National Cash Transfer Programs. There were no new cash transfers in this Banjana program except for, very small ones for OKUs and stuff. And third, an expansion of the unemployment insurance scheme, the EIS, essentially temporarily increasing the benefit duration and extending the coverage to include self-employed and contract workers and things like that.
We have a question from WhatsApp from a listener who wants to know, how is the country going to pay for the goodies with all of the cut taxes?
So basically, there are constraints at the moment. And the major constraint at the moment is because, of course, this package was announced without being discussed in Parliament. And of course, Parliament is not going to seat until later this month. So I think the main constraint here is the debt limits, right? Statutory debt limits of 55%. Fiscal rules, which says that the government is unable to borrow money to fund operating expenditure, and other regulations that prevent emergency expansion of social assistance programs. So all of these are things that need to be discussed in Parliament, need to be amended in Parliament. So therefore, this raises huge problems of how to pay for all this expansionary spending. And it seems that without all of this parliamentary stuff, we would have to finance it either through off-budget financing or through contributions from other government-linked companies, right? Like Petronas, like, Kazana and such.
And that actually raises something that I wanted to ask you about, just because I'm curious. We are seeing this package being announced without being voted or discussed in Parliament, and that is during this period where the status of Parliament is something that people keep bringing up. Do you see this as significant?
Right. So, like I said, I don't know enough to comment about this from a political or governance perspective, but I think in terms of the economic, especially in terms of the public finance angle, there are significant costs. So, like I said, without special parliamentary seating, any economic recovery plan will be constrained by the statutory debt limits, which do not allow us to borrow beyond 55% of GDP, and fiscal rules, which do not allow us to borrow money to fund operating expenditure. Of course, like I said, other regulations that prevent certain expansion of programs, right? So I think if we have a special parliament sitting and we can pass a comprehensive emergency bill that temporarily loosens some of these restrictions until economic conditions improve, and that will give the government the requisite flexibility to act decisively and to act in a bolder fashion, because after all, like I said, relying on off-budget measures and relying on GLC contributions can only get us so far.
And today we didn't hear about Makcik Kia, but we also had some examples and some storytelling. And with that said, will Banjana cater to all sections of society? Is there truly something for everyone within this package?
Well, I think a lot of the focus, I think Prihatin was broader in terms of trying to keep everyone within this package. But for Banjana, I think a lot of the focus was on certain aspects of So, for example, we had the expansion of wage subsidy program, and then for the SMEs, we had a lot of digitalization initiatives. But I think in terms of social assistance, in terms of reaching the lower ranks of society, in terms of income groups, I don't think we saw that much focus on that this time around.
And You mentioned, we talked, I think, a little bit earlier about the Prihatin stimulus package. So with these two things, you know, being somewhat complementary and with some overlaps in there, are there specific gaps that have yet to be addressed with this, between the two of them?
Between the two of them? Well, sure. Well, one thing, like I said, you know, greater focus on infrastructure spending, you know, beyond the $4 billion we had in the Prihatin package. I think that's something we could have had in the Punjana package to you know, sort of start the economic recovery. And the other thing would be, of course, the second round of the Bantuan Prihatin National Cash Transfer Programs. Mm-hmm. So we saw that in Prihatin, but no continuation of that in Punjana. And I think based on household income calculations, a lot of that money was already been spent in that time. And I think having another round of cash transfers now would definitely do well in both supporting the incomes of low-income households as well as stimulating economy all in one go.
Now, something that has come up with the previous packages has been this issue of red tape. We've heard stories of people, small business owners particularly, not being able to access aid because the application process was too stringent or too complex, or somehow they just kind of fell between the different criteria. Do you foresee similar problems cropping up with this round of incentives?
Sure. So I think this problem, it's not a problem that's isolated to Malaysia. You know, overall around the world, we saw that a lot of these problems with application processes, a lot of problems with compliance costs, a lot of problems with time taken to disburse these funds. And I think it's definitely something that will happen now again, and it's something that will happen in the future again, simply because a lot of these things are unprecedented, right? Mm-hmm. So I think what we need to work towards is building that resilience, building that ability to respond quickly. And the way we do this partly is through increasing spending, increasing investments in social assistance programs or automatic stabilizers like the Bantuan Sarhidup program, like the unemployment insurance program. These programs, they sort of kick in automatically when the economic conditions worsen, right? So this will reduce things like red tape, reduce things like, you know, time to disperse the funds. And overall, I think it would be much more better for resilience.
And finally, as this program emphasizes, it's supposed to be a short-term plan. Will we expect to see a different set of action plans for our long-term economic recovery? And how might that be different? What would you be personally looking out for?
I think that's a good question. Specifically because I think a lot of the initiatives in this current program were sort of long-term in terms of like the digitalization program, in terms of the upskilling program. And in fact, we didn't see that much short-term plans like sort of infrastructure spending, sort of increasing cash transfers for low-income households. So I think that, you know, I wouldn't know what's going to come next, right? Because obviously a lot of the short-term goals are still being left, undone.
Kelvin, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Kelvin Cheng, analyst with the economics program at ISIS Malaysia, weighing in with some initial thoughts on the short-term economic recovery plan, or Banjana, which was just announced earlier today by Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. If you have any questions, if you have any thoughts, do let us know what they are. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.